The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and by popular demand, I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO Jerry Randall of Venture Life, a leading consumer healthcare products firm. So welcome, Jerry.
Hi, Paul. Nice to see you again. Thanks.
Well, big congrats on this morning's positive first half results and inline guidance for the rest of the year, with sales at the half year increasing more than 10% like for like to £23.5 million. So really well done there. So maybe we can start at that point. What's been sort of driving that top line growth?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as you know, Paul, we've got two parts of our business, which is the Venture Life brands and then the customer brands business. So on the Venture Life brands, Balance Active in particular, we have a good partner in Ireland. They started last year. That growth annualised. They've taken the gel and the pessaries. So we're seeing the annualisation of that now. Also, Asda and Tesco's have increased their distribution of Balance Active. Again, the pessary, the gel, but also the multi-pack value packs. Internationally, we're seeing Bayer perform well, who's our partner on Balance Active there. Energy, so the Lift product, that's been going well. We've got new listings there, but also good progress online as well with Amazon. So we're seeing that come through. And I think on the customer brands, we've just seen quite a lot of new product development last year, which is now coming through into this year, and seeing a bit of restocking from some of our customers there. So across the board, it's been very good. Internationally, with the brands a little bit more lumpy where the orders are, so a bit quieter in the first half, but you see that coming through much more strongly in the second half.
And what's the split there between your own sort of brands and the third party or your customer brand?
Yeah, I mean, as you see in the release, it's 55% for the first half, but by the end of the year, it'll be up to nearly 60% Venture Life brands, because we've got a much stronger second half in our Venture Life brand portfolio.
Right, okay. And I'm guessing we'll see some sort of like operating leverage, some economies of scale coming through with margin expansion, I guess, in that second half.
Yeah, you will. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, you've seen already in the first half an improvement in our EBITDA margin percentage as you go through, and that will improve in the second half as well. So that operational leverage, the fixed costs staying where they are, and gross margin, coming through and increasing in pound note terms. Obviously, you start to see as well in the gross margin that we're still dealing with that sort of higher input cost that came through, because obviously we've been putting that into inventory for the last 6 to 9 months. That's starting to unwind, and we'll start to get the benefit of that coming through, and the cheaper cost of goods side coming through towards the back end of this half.
Great, yeah. I mean, that'll be marvelous in terms of the that top line growth of 10% plus, etc. How much just broadly is split between sort of price and volume? I'm guessing most of it is price, but I could be wrong.
No, it's sort of the flip side. Most of it is volume, so there's a couple of percent there in price, but most of it's coming from volume.
Fantastic. And what sort of trading so far in Q3? I mean, obviously it's still fairly early days in the second half, but how's that progressing in the sort of like the picture of the order book and the visibility for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we have high visibility because the order books. Higher than it was same time last year. August is a quiet month for us because we have the factory shuts down for a couple of weeks for maintenance and things. So, but no trading line, and beginning to see products like Ultra Next, as you saw in the first half, picking up and continuing to pick up post COVID. Good Venture Life outlook for the order book in the second half of the year. So, yeah, all positive. As always, every year you've got to deliver. Everything has to go out the door by the end of the year. But at the moment, it all looks on target.
And what about the sort of new product launches? And you talked about you've got sort of like quite a few sort of new products going out the door.
Yeah, sure. So 23 has been a real focus on organic growth and delivery, because obviously with the increase in interest rates and aversion to debt, we decided not to make any more acquisitions this year, but focus on the new products. So we've got new products in the women's health category, launching a thrush cream, which is now launched alongside the bacterial vaginosis. Also, we're going to probiotics in that area as well. We've got a nice probiotic product, launching some more cleansing products as well. So broadening that women's health. Energy, we've got our new Lift Active Boost range that's launching, already started to launch actually in some of the retailers. And that's the sort of rather than just the glucose replacement for the diabetic patients, it's the everyday energy and vitamin supplement. And the retailers have really received that well. And we're going to even be launching that with our own first D2C website for that particular product, which will come out this week, in fact. So right. We're starting to branch out and try to claim more of that online market for ourselves and build customers there. So in a lot of areas, you know, good new product development, putting to use what we do for our customer brands, customers, but developing our own pipeline, baby ear rolls launching this half of the year as well, specifically targeted towards the 6 months and older. That will give us triple sighting in Boots, so not only in the ENT section, but also in kids, but also in baby. So again, expanding those distribution points and expanding the customer base for the product.
Great. And I see as all the success of the online, you know, sort of strategy, et cetera, has come from obviously a small base. Can you just talk through how you'd see that over the next sort of like couple of years moving on?
Yeah, I mean, what happens with the online is you obviously, so when we sell through Amazon, you're getting a higher retail price, but you're making similar pound note margins because you're obviously contributing to that. So we see that continuing to build the percentage that we've got in Amazon, but now starting to launch our own D2C sites, and they'll be done on a brand by brand basis. What we're hoping to do is get better customer affinity, greater use of social media. We're using TikTok a lot and a number of those other platforms, but start to own more and more of those customers and then allow them to get deeper into the product range and own that sort of customer relationship more.
And have you got to have sort of like a, you know, one central warehouse to be able to handle the sort of the outgoings on online from your D2C and sort of like any return? You know, you're probably not going to get too many returns, but just in case you do.
We use the same warehouse for all of it, actually. So whether we're going to out to the retailers or whether we're going through D2C or through Amazon, we use the same third-party warehouse that looks after that for us. We did have two. It's consolidating into one. And so, yeah, it's all the same. They provide different services depending where you're selling.
Brilliant. Fantastic. And just in terms of sort of, you know, your third-party, well, your distributors and, you know, from the actual channel, a lot of sort of like consumer-facing brands, maybe not so much in the healthcare sector, but certainly across the whole patch has been sort of destocking. Have you seen any of that at all?
We haven't seen a significant impact to that. I mean, I'm sure there has been, but in fact, in our customer brands, as I mentioned earlier, we saw some customers buying more this year because they were restocking from destocking previously. So not seeing significant amounts. We're increasing distribution points across our brand estate. So, you know, that leads to an increase in revenues, not a decrease. But it wouldn't surprise me if you start to see it, you know, back end of this year and into next year. It's only natural. And I think as retailers were going through that sort of can we get product kind of state over the last 18 months when supply chain was really disrupted, they probably built up a bit more inventory. So it wouldn't be surprising to see them, you know, sort of tighten up a bit more over the next year.
Mm. Well, it's good that, yeah, you haven't really sort of seen much because it's certainly come through in many other channels. So that's obviously shows you've got quite a lot of sort of end user demand there, I would have thought.
I think also as well, you know, it's probably a longer supply chain for us than in perhaps in food or other areas. So it takes a little bit longer for those things to get through. And but I'm sure we'll see a bit of it in due course.
Yeah. Just on a couple of areas that maybe haven't performed quite as well. You've got the dental mouthwash and China. How do you see that going forward? And is there any sort of actions to turn it around?
Yeah, dental's really, you know, is in a very competitive space. And obviously the big competitor in the room is Listerine there. And they've been very aggressive in their pricing policy. But we've got a number of activities that are going on, particularly this autumn, to really go back to the basics of the efficacy of the product, the data that's behind it. We've got the It Works campaign, where particularly with dental, when you spit out after rinsing, you can see the bits of plaque that's there. So we're focusing on that and also looking at claim structure as well and improving our claims. We've also been using quite heavy promotion against those other competitors too, and that's starting to pay dividends. So it's a multi-strategy approach in the UK to, you know, bring that arrest that decline and bring it back into a more stable position. But very difficult when you've got a big gorilla in the room like Listerine, who are, you know, being very aggressive. But we're making progress, and we've got some good campaigns and some good claims improvements you're going to see over the coming months. China's still very, very difficult. The market out there still suffering, so we're reviewing that, you know, part of the situation at the moment, because that's not performing for us as well as it should, and we're looking at some other initiatives.
Yeah, hopefully. You never know. You might be able to do D2C there directly from your website. Yeah, you'll be the first sort of brand to sell direct to the Chinese, because usually the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, the analysts have taken anything from China out of any of our forward numbers, so any progress you make there is all upside.
Yeah, good. Now, you touched on it earlier on, but the cash flow and the conversion and the deleveraging, etc. You just sort of expand a bit on that and what you're targeting for the year end, because I think you ended the half year with a leverage of, what was it, 1.47 times?
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. And when we present that, we're presenting what we call the SFA definition, which is what's in our financing document. So it's a slightly more aggressive measure than the strict, because it adjusts EBITDA for operating leases under IFRS 16, puts them back in again. But we're targeting to get that down towards one by the end of the year. So we're going to see, again, good cash generation in the second half. Another thing that's impacted this year is, we've talked about it before, the medical device regulations, which are causing all medical devices to go through a technical sort of transition. The deadline for that originally was, recently was May 2024 to have that transition made, but they've extended it now to May 2028, just because there's been difficulty getting through all the notified bodies. So that's meant the expenditure we were planning to spend over €1 million this year on that MDR conversion for the remainder of our products, we've got a few more years to spend. In fact, I think we're going to spend over €1 million. So we're probably seeing £750,000 to £1 million cash flow benefit this year from being able to spread that work out over the next 3 or 4 years. So that'll again go towards getting our net leverage down towards one before the end of the year.
Yeah, and then I guess just pushing we're fairly close to the end of December anyway. It's only about 3 months to go, but push the clock forward sort of 15 months towards the end of 2024, then effectively you'll be down probably, I'm just guessing, if you reduced it from 1.6 to 1 times in 2023, plus you've actually had some of the contingent consideration to pay out as well, then you should be hitting around about 0.5 by the end of next year, I guess.
Yeah, we'd expect that. Yeah, 0.5 or lower. So there's been, obviously good cash generation, moving out of the MDR, and that's all helped us to contribute to bring that net leverage down, which I know investors and shareholders are nervous about at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just in terms of sort of the refinancing of the facility with HSBC, given what happened obviously to SVB in the UK.
It's not actually due until July next year.
Yeah.
But we obviously got on the treadmill for that quite early. And our main intention, obviously, to get in early and get it resolved, but the main intention is to improve the terms. Give us better headroom and, hopefully better margins. So, yeah, that's all in train, and that'll be dealt with relatively early.
Good. And then just you mentioned in the actual statement, etc., there is a natural sort of second half weighting to the actual business. Just for my, why is that? Is it seasonal? Is it Christmas orientated?
No, a lot of it's historic, because if you look at our business as a whole, about a third is into the UK, or just below a third, which is ordered on a weekly basis, whether it's through retailers or Amazon or what have you. And the other 70%, which is mix of customer brands, eventual life brands, is with partners. And depending where we sign those partners, when they've launched their products, where the order patterns are. So it just has been that way through our partners. And, arguably, when we're 3 or 4 times the size, it will probably start to even out. We don't really have any products that are particularly seasonal. I mean, you could argue Aerial Swim's a bit more popular in the summer, but it's quite a small product. So no, not really. It's just the way it is on our customer base and when they tend to order. Long term, maybe it'll even out, but at the moment, that's how it is.
Good. Okay. And then I'm guessing with interest rates on the UK sort of like topping out and hopefully going down next year, you've actually seen you've seen sterling weaken. I mean, you'd be a clear beneficiary if interest rates came down, because it's obviously the interest. But would you be also a beneficiary at all? Does a weaker sterling versus the dollar make any difference? Or
it does help a bit, because sort of dollar and euro seem to be more aligned, and a part of our RCF is euro denominated as well, so we get a slightly beneficial rate there as well, and we're utilizing that money obviously in the UK and the euro land, so we'll be a slight beneficiary of that, I think, in the second half of the year.
Good.
It's always helpful.
Brilliant. Okay. And then just finally on the on news flow, when's the likely is a trading update? It would be sort of like in January or maybe December or?
Yeah, our normal pattern would be to put a trading update out in January when we finish there. So you'll see that then. Between now and then, you're going to just see more products launching out into the stores. You know, I'd invite all of our interested investors and shareholders just to wander around the stores, you know, the Boots, the Asdas, Tesco's, Superdrug, people like that, where all our new products are launching. We've got a great new initiative with Superdrug where they're going to be putting our whole women's health range on the top shelf in their 10 flagship stores later this year. So, you know, look out for that. As I say, no M&A. We're not planning to do anything on that front this year. We'll assess it next year when we see what the trajectory is on interest rates. But other than that, trading update in January and, you know, just go in the stores.
Yeah, see okay. The yeah, I mean, certainly your marketing director seems to be having some fantastic initiatives, expanding the distribution there and driving that top line and also launching new products. I mean, he or she must be very busy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-pronged approach because you've got the guys who are, you know, sort of the team, excuse me, who are selling out into, you know, the retailers and we've had a big initiative on the pharmacies and the wholesalers this year as well, but also the marketing team who are, you know, really behind the creativity of what we're doing with marketing. So it's a team effort from both of those, but they've done a fantastic job and, you know, continue to do so.
Yeah. Well, keep up the great work and look forward in touching base in January for the year-end trading update. So well done, Jerry.
Yeah. No, thanks very much, Paul. A pleasure to talk as always.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.